This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Play clock down to 2, down to 1. Purdy in the gun, gets the snap. Back to pass. Purdy looking, taking a shot. Deep down the right side for Jennings, and it's intercepted in the end zone. Purdy hung it in the air, and Darius Williams picked it off.
Thank you to Ryan Radke, Westwood 1. Would have been tough, under a minute, no timeouts, need a touchdown, but still a prayer if Brock Purdy had been able to get the ball to Ricky Pearsall for a big gain, and then maybe you set yourself up for the Hail Mary. They didn't even get it a final attempt. Just all around bad last night for the 49ers.
They were at midfield, and everybody watching knew that Purdy couldn't reach the end zone from there, which is not a great sign.
Yeah, and you actually got signs of life from Deebo Samuel on that kick return. He's deep into the end zone, but realizes his team needs like a major play. Has this big return and then gets horse collar tackle, which tacks on another 15 yards, which kind of gave a little bit of a prayer. But to be honest, San Francisco didn't deserve to win that game, and they didn't. They lost 12-6, and now there's major question marks, we think, about the future of Brock Purdy in San Francisco and possibly Kyle Shanahan.
Well, you have questions about Kyle Shanahan. Others do, but I have no questions about Kyle Shanahan. The Purdy contract is crazy because we saw the two big weaknesses of he's not a cold weather quarterback. He's not a rainy weather quarterback. And
cold,
when you get
that Bills game, remember all the snow? That
was, and you get pressure on him.
He
lost 35-10. Like you saw a tip pass last night. The Rams got so much pressure on him. We had a caller who mentioned if you blitz him, it's kind of an adventure. The thing about him, too, he's had to move around so much in the pocket this year because Trent Williams has been out, his left tackle. It's just like everything that could go wrong with him did go wrong. Then he was awesome last week against Chicago, so you thought maybe they turned it around. Not so much. A little bit of rain killed them yesterday. I don't know what to do. I think it's so frustrating for teams that there's no middle market for quarterbacks that the Niners are in a really tough spot with this contract.
Absolutely, yeah. Because you can't give him the Daniel Jones 2 years, $80 million, right?
You could try. Why not?
Because he's had a lot more success than Daniel Jones. And I know this season has been bad, but if you're going to bail out Kyle Shanahan and say, oh, it's because of the injuries, don't you have to apply the same logic to Purdy? It's a guy who was right there in Philadelphia against your Eagles a couple of years ago, the NFC Championship game. He got hurt. And then last year, overtime of the Super Bowl, Daniel Jones hasn't sniffed anything like that. Baker Mayfield hasn't sniffed anything like that. So you got to pay him more than those guys.
Well, I mean, listen, the Niners easily gave up on Jimmy Garoppolo, even though he took them to within inches of a Super Bowl title. So Kyle Shanahan falls in and out of love quickly, too. He basically gave up on Trey Lance in about 3 minutes once he saw Purdy practicing. I think Shanahan is really, he's really prickly about quarterbacks. And I know he loves Brock Purdy, but again, you never would have thought it was, they would love Jimmy G. Like, Jimmy G was such a great trade and such a great signing. And then when it started to go south, it went south really quickly. So I'm very, very curious, you know, especially look at this year's offseason. Like, there's a chance Atlanta doesn't want Kirk Cousins anymore. There's a chance the Jets don't want Aaron Rodgers anymore. And Sam Darnold's going to be a free agent. Those are three guys Shanahan has flirted with his whole life. He had Darnold. He loves Cousins. And Rodgers and him almost got together in 21, apparently. I think that this is going to be very interesting. Because Kyle Shanahan's going to look around and say, like, wow, I don't know if I love him as much as I did 4 months ago.
Yeah, see, but I think you're taking a risk with an older Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles. Yeah. Kirk's been terrible over the last few weeks. Like, this could be the end of Kirk Cousins.
Well,
who's
the guy who told us there was a Kirk Cousins cult among NFL coaches?
It was Diana Rossini.
Right.
And the cult of Kirk.
Who leads that? It's Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan.
Well, I don't know. They might be looking for a new cult leader because
He has a younger, shorter, Even lower draft pick version of Kirk Cousins right now in Brock Purdy.
And the other part is they have Sam Darnold. It might be out there if the Vikings decide to move on, but they had Sam Darnold in their building and he was still Purdy's backup.
Well, yeah, and also Sam Darnold costs at least $40 million, so I think they're more likely to re-sign their own guy than pay up big bucks for Sam Darnold.
I think, though, the idea that there's absolutely no questions about Kyle Shanahan, and I'm not saying because the ownership would say, that's it, you're fired. I'm just wondering if the two almost come together and say, like, have we gone as far as we can go together?
But and why would Shanahan say that? Like, where does Shanahan want to go?
I'm not sure, but I haven't thought that part out yet, but this has just been an all-time bad season. And whether you care about vibes or you don't care about vibes, it was the combination of the injuries and also, I think, some mismanagement. And whether you want to put it on Shanahan, you can put it on Lynch, you could put it on the ownership, you can dole out the blame however you want. But it was bad and off from the start. And it goes back to the Super Bowl, and we all know it. And to have that moment and be right there to have the ball in overtime and then not understanding the rules fully, which we still don't know if that played a part into this at all with the new overtime rules, or just the decision to kick that field goal and you give the ball to Patrick Mahomes in overtime where he needs a touchdown to win it, what do you think's going to happen? You know? And I just think sometimes, like we saw this with the Seahawks many years ago with Malcolm Butler at the goal line, it was really hard for them to get over that and then add on the injuries and then add on the personal stuff of terrible things happening off the field with people's families, like multiple issues with kids, with players' children, which is always the most horrific thing. Ricky Pearsall getting held up in broad daylight, getting shot. He survived. So that's a happy, you know, outcome. Just you add all of it on top, and it just felt like too much for them to overcome.
Yeah, I think behind the scenes they're going to say, well, and I know you disagree with the same thing happened in 2020. Bosa went down, tore his ACL, I think, in week two, and then Jimmy G got hurt, and they're like, forget it. We'll just, remember my guy Nick Mullins was the quarterback. It was one of my favorite super fun teams, hung in there. But I think they're going to say, hey, we were back immediately after that. And I mean, listen, you're an owner or you're a coach or anything, like, you're going to talk yourself into this can work. That's what everybody does. And there's certainly, it's not a stretch to say, okay, we get these guys back, we'll be fine next year. It's certainly, I think that's the straightest, most logical path.
Right. And maybe you just need a nice long off season for everyone to heal and everything. But you do have this big Purdy decision.
That's the one. See, to me, that's a big controversy. I'm not worried about, and I'm not saying you're totally wrong, because you do have a good instinct for these things. I'm not worried about Shanahan. I am very worried about, like, they can't pay him $60 million over 4 years. That just seems ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but you also said the same thing about Ayuk. You're like, they can't pay him $30 million, and he got $31.
Well, you know what happened? All the GMs panicked when they saw all these huge dollars going to wide receivers. They're like, they had no interest in paying Ayuk for most of the offseason. Then, like, look at, like, Devontae Smith. I can't remember who got paid. Like somebody who was, like, just average got $28 million a year, and the price tags went way up. So I think they panicked on that move. I think, again, you're in a tough spot. Ayuk's a young player. You're not going to let him go. So it's very difficult. I think they missed on Pearsall a little bit. If they had taken Ladd McConkey instead, was Leggett there? Yeah, like there were other options at receiver. I'm not sure they made the right call. And the truth is they need to rebuild their lines too. Like, stop taking receivers. Let's focus on the defensive line and offensive line.
I mean, for a team that has a lot of talent, you just named a lot of things that need to get resolved this offseason. If you're talking about both lines, you're talking about the quarterback, you're talking about some major skill position players.
Right, but I mean
this is a tall task for a team that's like only a couple injuries away.
Yeah, but you also look, I name a defense that has Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Tarvarius Ward, and Diamondor Lenore coming back. And name an offense that has McCaffrey, I know Kittle's coming back, Ayuk, and probably Trent Williams. He's old, but old left tackles are really good sometimes. So, I mean, Andrew Whitworth was killing it until he was 40. So, there's a ton of talent coming back. I mean, name teams. There's very few teams that have that many Pro Bowlers coming back.
Yeah, and you know what? Things derail seasons. like injuries, as we saw this year. And also things can break up teams that have lots of expectations, which is everyone wants to get paid and everyone wants theirs, which I totally get, especially in a sport this brutal. And also the weight of it. And like, it's just, you know, you saw last night, and this is a almost like a microcosm, I think, of a lot of things that have gone wrong for the 49ers. You had someone quit last night during the game. Devondre Campbell, who was a free agent who came over from the Packers, decided last night because Dre Greenlaw came back, very triumphant moment for him, but Devondre Campbell got knocked down to third string, and when the guy in front of him actually got hurt in the game and he needed to go in the third quarter, he told everybody to go screw. He walked off the field. Let's hear from Kyle Shanahan about that moment, Devondre Campbell deciding not to play last night.
What happened with Devondre Campbell? He didn't play and he went into the locker room at some point?
Yeah, he said he didn't want to play today. Yep.
The coaching staff?
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in. So.
During the game or before?
No, that was in the third quarter.
I mean, here's George Kittle. So the offensive side of the ball, generally guys don't even like to comment on any teammate, let alone one that's not even on their side of the ball. Here's Kittle disappointed that Campbell walked off the field.
That doesn't like make our offense look at each other and be like, wow, man, you know, we're falling apart. It's more of a, we're like the defense, hey, we're falling apart. It's more of a one person making a, like Mooney said, a selfish decision. And I'm with Mooney on that. And I've never been around anybody that's ever done that. And I hope I'm never around anybody that does that again.
How many more data points do we need to know that show just how bad things have gotten here? And I don't think you can ever fully let the coach off the hook for that because, you know, listen, this is one guy and he could be having a bad moment or a bad apple or whatever. And he made a bad decision last night, no doubt. But I just ask you, would anyone have done this with Dan Campbell? I just don't think they would. And I don't think that's too high of a bar for Kyle Shanahan. He's thought of as one of the greatest coaches in the league. You just had a player quit on you. And again, maybe it's just the player, but it just feels like everything fell apart this year.
I hear what you're saying. But if the Lions had half the injuries that the Niners had, they would also be 6-8. To me, like the takeaway from last night was Al Michaels said it. There was when Dre Greenlaw came out. I mean, did he make like the first 9 tackles of the game, or was it just me? And Al Michaels said the Niners fans must be frustrated watching this, thinking, "Oh my God, what if we had this team all year long?" And the truth is, they just didn't. And then by the third quarter, Dre Greenlaw looked like he should be in the hospital. I mean, that was ridiculous. And Bosa kind of ran out of steam too. I guess maybe they changed the blocking patterns, but I just think that it's just so hard to judge this team. And I think poor Devondre Campbell picked the wrong day to not go into the game because their season just ended. I feel like he's a bit of a scapegoat here for a frustrating season.
I thought you were going with an airplane reference there.
Yeah.
Pick the wrong day to stop sniffing glue. Sniffing glue.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like he's clearly like they need somebody to yell at. So everyone's picking Devondre Campbell. And when Kittle yells at you, I mean, he's the nicest guy in the NFL. He loves everybody. That's a bad sign. I actually, this is the best thing that could happen. Shut down Bosa for the rest of the season. Bring it all back next year, and you're fine.
We have a poll question up at Maggie and Pearl on X. Whose future with the 49ers is more in jeopardy? Brock Purdy, air quotes, winning that poll, 69% to 31% over Kyle Shanahan.
This is a gritty team. It's a salty team.
Not on the offense last night.
I was amazed that Greenlaw came out. Like, there was no wear and tear from his injury. Like, he looked like, oh my God, he looked like a hornet who you just stirred out of the nest. That was kind of awesome. And another thing, going back to Alan Kirk, they said that Shanahan told him he is the key to the entire defense. I was like, whoa. Does that explain everything that's happened this year?
It was a major loss. Definitely, yeah. Was. I mean, to tear your Achilles in the Super Bowl.
It's just weird because you think of Fred Warner as the big star of the linebacker core, but if Shanahan said that to him, then that kind of explains a lot of what happened this year defensively. Because they're okay, but they're not, like, nasty.
855-212-4227. All right, so we're asking some tough questions about the 49ers this morning. Coming up next, we'll turn our attention to making a little money. Our pal Nick Costos from You Better You Bet joins the show next. Don't move.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Been talking a lot about the demise of the San Francisco 49ers, but meanwhile, this young Rams defense has to be sort of the talk of the NFL, because if the offense can hang on and be elite for a few more years, they have somehow drafted crazy good on defense. Not great English there, but I don't know where these linemen come from. They were torturing the Niners last night.
They were. They've all come together. Now it's a team that's going to be obviously fighting for the division, let alone that last wild card spot. The one thing about last night I feel like no one is talking about, and not us until this moment, to be fair, is Matthew Stafford on a quarterback sneak last night. Rams win, by the way, 12-6, game with no touchdowns. But he's going for the end zone, and it did look pretty open, so I'm not going to lie. I understood, even though Matthew Stafford hasn't had a rushing touchdown in 8 years, he sees daylight, he goes for it, and Perloff, he gets stopped at the goal line, and he got crushed. And, you know, it's Matthew Stafford. He always gets back up. He's one of the toughest quarterbacks in the league. But he seemed to be favoring a little bit his, like, right side, I think. It seemed like part of ribs got turned to dust on that play, yeah. is what I'm suggesting.
Gotcha. I mean, obviously it didn't affect him last night because they started throwing the ball late, effectively. What's the ball dried out. The last drive, it was funny. They came out and you figured they would run the ball away. And what they did was they actually threw it, and it was great. So maybe it was adrenaline, but if I would take the Stafford at the end of the game, they have a 10-day rest, and then they go to the Jets, which is actually, believe it or not, a tricky game for them. Because remember last year they were on that great run? They almost lost to the Giants in the same exact position last year and killed their playoff chances. They need to get to the playoffs. Because remember last year, they were right there with Detroit.
Absolutely.
So I think they're a very, very interesting team if they get there. But that's a big if.
Yeah, that was a great game. The Matthew Stafford return to Detroit game. Let's hear Stafford talking about his taking that big hit last night.
Yeah, body, we'll figure that out later. I'm not worried about it. I got 10 days. Yeah, I mean, it's December, you know? I mean, our season's on the line every single week. We go out there. It was going to be tough to throw the football in the long run, and they also clouded the concept and did a nice job of covering it up, so at that point, it was time to go.
I love this. Like, yeah, you know, the bones that protect all of my vital organs, we'll figure that out. We'll figure out what to do with that.
I mean, he's Matthew Stafford. That dude has been hurt probably 16,000 times in his NFL career.
I know, and again, they're lucky actually that this is coming at the right time, but why is anyone either running to calling a design run for Matthew Stafford, or why is he even trying to attempt a quarterback run? And then later actually did a quarterback sneak, which I was a little surprised about. All right, let's turn to our pal Nick Costos. He's the host of You Better You Bet. Let's try to win some money. Nick, do I have to start with a bit of a mea culpa? Should we do this at the end of the segment?
What, for the Bills-Rams game last week? You're good. I won my money. That's all I needed. No problem.
It was your upset pick of the week, but it was a very specific thing you said to me, which was, if the Bills meet the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl, the Bills will lose, and it will be because Sean McDermott gets out-coached by Dan Campbell. And I said, no, Nick, that's crazy. It's going to come down to Josh Allen versus Jared Goff. And then, of course, what happens? Sean McDermott goes out and has one of the lamest, dumbest, most terrible end-of-game decisions possible. Spoils a Bills comeback. Oh, boy.
Yeah, almost like he's not a great coach.
I can't go that far, but...
And he's not trustworthy.
The end-of-game decisions are just... It's been happening far too long, far too often. He's got to know better.
Well, I think... There is a way the Bills can win the Super Bowl this year, right? Things just have to break right for them. But, you know, my opinion is I'll hold to this. I think Josh Allen will definitely win a Super Bowl in his career, but it won't be with Sean McDermott as the head coach. They should have moved on from him after last year. And by the way, this game against the Lions on Sunday, I think the point spread's fair, right? Detroit 2.5-point favorite in the game. I think Detroit's better than Buffalo, but Detroit obviously has tons of injuries, which gets us to this point spread a little less than 3. I'm going to bet the Lions in the game because I feel like at the end of the game, and Allen's the best player on the field. Josh Allen's much better than Jared Goff. There's no question. But when it comes down to it, I trust Dan. I don't know if Perloff agrees with this. I trust Dan Campbell way more in a big spot than I trust Sean McDermott. And also, like, at what point does Sean McDermott, this great defensive guru, say, You know, Puka Nacua has 19 third down conversions in this game. Yeah. Maybe we should double him here. Like, what do people think is going to happen with Ben Johnson now against his Bills defense on Sunday? It's not just Dan Campbell versus Sean McDermott. It's Ben Johnson versus Sean McDermott. Now, I do think that Joe Brady can win the battle against Aaron Glenn because Joe Brady has Josh Allen. So we'll definitely get points in this game. I do think the Lions will win at the end.
Nick, did you see ESPN's Teddy Bruschi go on a huge rant against Dan Campbell saying, you're the best team in the league. Stop playing like a plucky underdog and keep on going for it on fourth down. I agree with this, and I know you don't agree, but like the Lions are a better team than the Philadelphia Eagles. There's no doubt about it, in my opinion. The only thing that gives me hope is that they will make a silly fourth down call in their own territory and let the Eagles back in it, because the Lions' offense is just, they're just better. So I feel like if they just go out there mano a mano with the Bills this weekend or with the Eagles, they will beat them. But if they start doing tricky things, then maybe it evens it out, or at least adds to the risk that they'll play down to an opponent.
Well, Perloff, I would say, you know, the good news for the Eagles is that they have a super conservative coach who never makes wacky decisions. The same thing. Who couldn't possibly do the same thing.
Well,
I mean, at least Dan Campbell is like working. And like, I don't want to bang on Nick Sirianni too much because they're winning a million games. He can't be a bad coach. Like, I have to take the L on this one if they're going to be 11-2 and they're going to go to the playoffs every year. But yeah, I mean, Campbell over Sirianni 100 times out of 100 for me in those big game spots. Like, not even close.
But honestly, you're opening the door for Nick Sirianni by coaching like Nick Sirianni.
Well, my question for Nick is actually turning to this weekend when you have the Eagles and the Steelers, because I thought this point spread is a little suspect to me. Sus, as the kids would say, Nick. 5.5
Yes, they do say that.
5.5 I feel like this is begging me to take the points with the Steelers.
Well, you know what you should do then is go the other way and lay the points with the Eagles. I think Philly should smash them in the game. Now, we don't know for sure if George Pickens is going to play, right? Like, that has not been, like, nothing has been official there. I haven't really, like, looked a ton this morning, but I'm going to do a quick search here. We don't think George Pickens is going to play in this game, right? So let's say Pickens does not play.
Right.
It's one thing for the Steelers to get away with that like they did last week against Cleveland. And to be fair, I bet the Steelers last week against the Browns. And they covered. I watched the game. Dustin Hopkins for Cleveland missed two makeable field goals. The Browns easily could have kept that game super close and covered. So I bet the Steelers, and I'm saying that. I feel like I got lucky to cover. I don't think Pittsburgh can get away with that this week against the Eagles. And I think a couple things are true. And Perloff, you're a big Eagles guy, right? So they won on Sunday. Like they won.
Sort
they
of.
Carolina. They won. No. They won. Like they won the game. They got to win. Everyone's acting like they lost. Crazy to me. I look at that as maybe Carolina's a little better than we think, and that sort of thing happens from time to time. Then there's the Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown rift, which I 100% believe is a thing, but I would also say, like, doesn't matter that these two guys may not like each other. I got to tell you, I dislike a lot of people I work with, and I guarantee a lot of them dislike me. But guess what? We show up to work and we do a good job every day. That's what professionals do. I don't think any of this stuff matters. Eagles defense, best unit on the field. I think Philly wins, and Philly wins big.
Do you think there's this narrative out there that Pittsburgh's good against the run? Do you think that the Philly's going to push A.J. Brown this game instead of Saquon Barkley?
So for props, think? Like, I think A.J. Brown is 5.5 receptions as his prop this weekend.
Well, I would say this, like, the Eagles have a really concentrated offense. And, like, look, last week's game plan, like, was a little weird, right? With Brown only going 4 for 43 on 4 targets. Yeah, like, the squeaky wheel generally gets the grease. This is how it works with diva wide receivers in the NFL. So you would imagine that that's going to be the case here. But, I mean, I don't think it's a case of, you know, one or the other, right? It's either A.J. Brown or Saquon Barkley. Like, 3 players on the offense touch the ball, 4 including the quarterback. It's like Hurts, Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, right? It's one of the reasons why this offense is so electric, right? Why it's so awesome. So, yeah, like, I think A.J. Brown, they will make more of an effort to get him the ball. And by the way, the last time the Eagles played the Steelers a couple of years ago, A.J. Brown went nuclear, 3 touchdowns down the field on this Pittsburgh secondary. I really, really like the Eagles a lot in this game.
Nick, does that mean like Saquon, I'm thinking Saquon Barkley gets a little less yards moving forward and really wraps up the MVP for Josh Allen. Do you think Saquon, they'll keep feeding him and he can make a run at Josh Allen for MVP or?
Well, so let's look at it this way, right? So I'll ask you this question. Right now, Josh Allen, so Bills lost on Sunday. Josh Allen became more of a favorite to win MVP, which I understand.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I think Mahomes is better than him, but Allen's been the best player in the league this year. So right now, Allen's minus 450, Saquon's plus 400. Betting market says Bills more likely to lose than win this weekend, Eagles more likely to win than lose. Okay. This would mean two straight losses for Buffalo, right? Kansas City is more likely to win than lose, 4-point favorite on the road in Cleveland. If Kansas City wins and Buffalo loses, like Buffalo's like likely out for the one seed. Can't happen. Not, I don't think 100% because they have the head-to-head tiebreaker, but very likely not going to happen. So the Eagles would then be 12-2. Let's say Saquon has a buck 20 or more in the game. What do you think MVP looks like on Monday morning?
I think it's a lot closer.
Okay, so think about that. This is what like mathematically is the most likely scenario. It doesn't mean that has to be what it is. The Bills can win. The Eagles can lose. All of these things can happen. But right now, like the betting market says, Philly's more likely to win than lose. Buffalo's more likely to lose than win. Kansas City's more likely to win than lose. If all three of those things happen, like that's the favorite. What's MVP look like on Monday morning? So I think Allen's still the favorite, to be fair. I think it's a lot closer, and it opens the door where if Saquon breaks the rushing record and the Eagles go 15-2, I think Saquon can win MVP.
And it would be one of the all-time snubs.
Maggie, Nick Costas
is joining us from You Better You Bet. Now, I have my own thoughts on this.
Maggie, you're going to let him say that about Josh Allen?
It's not even that. It's just...
I stated a bunch of facts. Like it wasn't even opinion.
It's not about that. It's just you said it. The Bills lost, and Josh Allen became more of a favorite.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Right, so why wouldn't the same thing happen even if they lose by 2.5 or they lose by 3 on a last-second field goal by Detroit and Josh Allen is another amazing play? Like, the wins and losses, I think, don't even matter at this point because...
You don't think so?
I really don't. But
you don't think if they lose this game and then lose one of three down the stretch to the Patriots or Jets, there's no way he's going to win if that happens.
But I think it depends how it looks because it depended how it looked in the Rams game. And you just said that. So here's another question, though, for you, Nick, as we have just a few more minutes with Nick Costos, the host of You Better You Bet. Let's try to win some moolah. Packers at the Seahawks. We're talking about teams with lots of and games with lots of playoff implications here for seeding and such. Right now, the Packers on the road are 2.5-point favorite in this game. The total, 45.5. How would you bet this game?
Yeah, it's a really fun one. And we see split action this week on this game. So every time Green Bay gets bet up to 3, they get bet back down to 2.5. So clearly, there's like a difference of opinion here where some people think Green Bay should be a 3-point favorite. Others think Green Bay should be a little less than 3. For people out there that are like, this seems like, why are people arguing about this? Because 3 is the most important number. So this like it's a huge inflection point where this point spread ends up. I'm one of the people that thinks the Packers should be a 3-point favorite in the game.
Gotcha.
Like everyone's like the stats out there now. Green Bay's 4 losses this year, twice to Detroit, once to Green Bay, once to Minnesota, are against teams with massive 1-loss records, and all the games have been close. Now Seattle's on a really nice run right now. They've been awesome. Currently find themselves at 8-5, 4 straight wins, first place in the NFC West. By the way, Week 18 Sunday Night Football, I think the favorite is going to be Seahawks at Rams for the NFC West title, is my guess now, for the Week 18 final game of the regular season. I'd like to see, and this is where, like, you know, I put my money down, and if I'm wrong, I say, you know what? Like, you showed me. I'll pay to have the Seahawks show me that they can do this against a really great team. At minus 2.5, I really like Green Bay. And I say this on your show sometimes, right? Just to people out there that want to bet. If you like the Packers, you don't have to agree with me. But if you do, lay minus 2.5. If you like Seattle, please bet plus 3, not plus 2.5.
Nick, what about teams that might not have incentive to win this weekend? Your Giants, 16-point underdogs. The Raiders play one of the 2 Monday night games. How do you view teams that don't have any motivation? Do you tend to think like a bunch of teams around the league are going to kind of lay down this weekend?
I think we're maybe a little too early for that. Like week 18 is always like the really, really, really wacky week, which I actually think, like, I hate when you'll hear people say, oh, you can't bet week 18. Really? Like, that's like saying people, you can't bet the preseason. You absolutely can. Week 18 is a great week to bet. I can't wait to talk about it with you guys. So we approach these things, Perloff, individual puzzle pieces that need to be solved. I think the Giants point spread, there should be a 2 instead of a 1 next to Baltimore.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, the Giants won't win a home game this year. Hashtag Giants 100. What a great celebration of 100 years of Giants football. What a great season. You know what they should do? I'm being serious. Instead of having people come to watch the game, they should show Super Bowl 35 against the Ravens on the Jumbotron. Don't even play the game. Forfeit. Let the Ravens win. Let no one get hurt. I don't even know what number I would need to bet the Giants. Ravens are nothing. Wait, like the Giants have broken all power ratings and like point spread creations where I made a spread for this game. It's like 14. So technically, like, I should bet the Giants. I would never do it ever in a million years, Perloff.
Related question. The Ravens, I think, are one of the teams that have the 11 games in 3 days. Do the Ravens in the second half pull out their starters and let the Giants creep back in and cover? Are you looking at that schedule thing as something that's going to affect games? Coming up the Christmas Day schedule for a bunch of teams where they have to play three games at a very short window?
Yeah, it's the Ravens, the Texans, the Steelers, and the Chiefs who will play on Saturday the 21st, and then again on Christmas Day, and then obviously coming up this Sunday. I mean, it really depends, right? Like, how much are they up by in the second half? Can the Giants feasibly come back? Like, that's really what it's going to be. Is it like a three-score game or more at the end? But the assumption that you're making is that if the Ravens pull their starters, like Tommy DeVito and the Giants are going to be able to score. I don't know if I agree with that assumption. And just on the Raiders, because you mentioned them, they play Monday night against the Falcons. It's the Desmond Ritter Bowl. Like, I can't believe this guy's back. He's going to screw Brock Bowers, Offensive Rookie of the Year. But the Raiders have gotten bet because Kirk Cousins has been so bad as of late. I can never bet the Raiders are probably the right side in the game, quote unquote. I'm not betting Desmond Ritter. I'm just going to bet the Vikings on Monday night in the first game and be done with it.
All right, Nick, we ask you every week for an upset pick of the week. I don't know if you want to go North Carolina football futures for any of this stuff with Bill Belichick taking over, but your upset pick of the week has been a winner. What do you have for us?
Yeah, well, here's a prediction for everybody. I could be wrong about the stuff. I'm pretty confident that I'm going to be right. Well, how about this is a little bit of a long shot prediction. I think that 365 days from now, we'll be talking about North Carolina getting ready for a college football playoff game next year. Year one with Bill Belichick in Chapel Hill. I think they're going to be awesome immediately, North Carolina. I'm going to be rooting for them to show the NFL how stupid it is for letting the greatest coach of all time leave. Upset special for this week. So like a couple here. We could go with Indianapolis on the road in Denver. We'll pass on that. I think the Patriots are live to beat Arizona, but we can pass on that one also. So let's arrive at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road at the LA Chargers, where Justin Herbert is dealing with what I believe to be a high ankle sprain based off all the information I can gather. I'm not reporting that. That is my opinion. We'll find out more coming up on Sunday. I think his mobility will be restricted, and I think the Bucs are going to be able to score on that defense. Fire the cannons. Tampa wins outright this week on the road at the Chargers.
Wow. Yeah. They don't bring the cannons on the road, do they?
They should.
Get the tractor trailer going across country just for the cannons.
Yeah. I can just
get
see
the drones
in
from
LA
New Jersey to bring the the cannons to bring the cannons to LA.
Everyone's obsessed with the drones.
I can tell you, I don't care about it at all. But like, it's a little weird.
How can you not care about it? We're clearly being prepped for either an alien invasion or a foreign invasion. It seems pretty obvious.
Because I can't stop anything from happening, and so I live in my little bubble. Like, the biggest story in my world is that Bill Belichick's the coach of the Tar Heels, and I like my world.
Well, Nick, you don't know this, but Perloff is secretly a doomsday prepper.
No. She's joking, but
seems
yes.
Like a,
seems I think
like a
about
healthy
it.
Way,
seems I think
like a healthy
about
way
a
to live. Yeah. Yeah.
He's already
really healthy.
He's already created his route from New York City to Vermont that he can get to via bicycle.
So what's the
city
what's,
bike?
What, yeah. So like, what's the that'll blow up before you get there. Yeah. What's the doomsday scenario in your head that you're thinking? Like, what's going to happen?
No, he just like preps for whether it's zombie apocalypse or foreign country.
Well, how much time you think about this?
Well, you're saying if there's a nuclear bomb, I'm going down in the first wave. So that's not, I don't know. Like,
no, I'm saying that if you're going to ride a city bike to Vermont, the city bike's going to blow up with the lithium battery. You're going to blow up.
No, I'll do the manual city bike.
Oh, okay.
By the way, what's more unrealistic, prepping for a doomsday or thinking North Carolina football is going to be elite? I mean,
maybe both. Maybe both are pretty unrealistic.
There's two. Talking about a sign of the apocalypse. You're talking about a program that's had more first-round picks and violations than wins. So this is a long stretch.
Well, can I ask you a question on North Carolina?
Yeah.
Do you guys agree with the assertion that everybody makes that college football basically now is like the NFL?
Yes.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah.
Okay, and then they hired the greatest NFL head coach ever. I win the argument.
But this greatest NFL head coach, even the Jags were like, no thanks. You're saying okay. You and Maggie yeah, are both smarter than the rest of the NFL. You guys are just...
I would say that you are making an incorrect assumption, Perloff, that people in power are intelligent, where I know you know better as a successful person that there are many people in power, probably the majority of people in power in many, including our industry, are brain dead. So, I mean, the assumption that, oh, well, this NFL team pass on Belichick must suck, or maybe they're just dumb, or they're threatened by Belichick and his success. Like, maybe it could be that, too.
I think it was self-preservation. I'm with you on that. You needed a place where the coach and the GM were both going to be open. Those spots were both going to be open because Bill brings a lot with him, right? And that's threading a needle that just really didn't exist right now.
I totally,
I'm with Nick on this one.
Owners want to win the Super Bowl. Like, that is like, you're telling me there's not one owner who could, but I don't think people think he's got his fastball anymore.
We're going to see.
Well, yeah. I think when Robert Kraft calls Arthur Blank and says, hey, like, don't do this. I think it carries weight. And he's a massive hater. And he's delusional.
Well, he's got that documentary.
Yeah, by the way, Atlanta
he commissioned a documentary to tear down, like, you think that guy's normal? You think his brain's working correctly? Like, let's do a 9-part documentary to tear down the legacy of the coach that won me 6 Super Bowls. You think that guy's got his head screwed on straight?
Who cares? I mean, the Atlanta Falcons are the North Carolina football of the NFL. Like, where would that have gone with Belichick? They'd be 7-10.
How's it going this year? 4 straight losses. You think if Belichick were the coach and the shadow GM, they would have signed Kirk Cousins to a $100 million deal and then drafted Michael Penix? This makes sense to anybody? Anyone? Anybody think any of that makes any sense?
Honestly,
yeah, they're smart.
If I'm
that's
running
a
franchise, I'm going tight end, wide receiver, running back in the top 10 3 years in a row.
Here's the thing, right? Drake London and Bijan Robinson are actually good players. Kyle Pitts is one of the worst tight ends in the league. They drafted him 4th overall, but yeah, that GM's great. Yeah, they hired Arthur Smith. Yeah, these people know what they're doing. That's great.
Who didn't even want the North Carolina job?
But the other part that's hilarious is I think that you want to talk about what would happen first. The apocalypse or Bill Belichick giving a no trade clause. Like, that would never have happened, even if he did sign Kirk Cousins. There's no trade clauses happening in Bill Belichick's world.
And now the Falcons are up against it. I'll bet you wish they had hired Bill Belichick. And that's not even shade to Raheem Morris. I'm just saying, 6-7. Doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs now. Just saying.
Nick, thank you as always. Love talking with you, and we'll see if your upset pick hits again. You've been on a heater.
Yeah, fire the cannons. Wishing everyone minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Perloff, like, I don't know, dude. Like, watch, like, the Great British Baking Show on Netflix or something. Like, enjoy yourself, man. Smile a little bit.
Whatever, dude. Look out your window. There's a drone staring at you right now, Nick.
That's cool. Honestly, it doesn't impact my life at all.
Man, no, Perloff only watches Surviving Alaska, Surviving the Apocalypse, Surviving the End of Time. It's a theme, it's a trend. Nick, thank you. Appreciate it.
Peace.
Okay, lots more to do. See you guys on the phones. You want to weigh in on the 49ers? More questions about Kyle Shanahan moving forward or Brock Purdy? We've got that. Welcome back. Thanks again to Nick Kostos, who joins us every week around 8:20 Eastern time from You Better You Bet. Andrew Bogish has headlines for us on a very busy Friday.
Good morning again, guys. These headlines are sponsored by GoodRx. For simple, smart savings on your prescriptions, go to GoodRx.com or download the free GoodRx app. In a season full of struggling kickers, the Rams are lucky to have Joshua Cardy.
And he's got the most beautiful name. I never realized. Joshua. Oh, Josh. Ooh-ah.
Cardi kicked 4 field goals on a soggy Thursday Night Football. And he got nothing on a Friends reference? Just Manny pumping his fist?
I don't know.
Manny just mouthed that like word for word.
I'm a huge fan of Friends. I've watched it 4 or 5 times, which is weird because the show began in the 1980s.
Yeah, for sure.
Might as well be to you.
Well, we were fighting over this in the newsroom because...
Fighting over Jennifer Aniston.
Right, who's my all-time favorite. And Manny said, no, she's mine. I said, I watch the shows when they were new. I win. I don't care how many times you watch them on Netflix and repeats.
I'm giving her the royalties from keep rewatching and rewatching it on Netflix and on HBO Max. I'm the bigger Jen Aniston guy.
But all-time favorite, like she's entertaining or this, you think she's the most attractive woman of
all
time.
Just a big fan.
Oh, I would leave my wife if Jennifer Aniston asked.
Jennifer Aniston. So that's your type.
Would you leave your wife for a lottery ticket like Nikki Glaser's? Sorry about Tom Brady. It's a deep cut from the roast. So you guys are both fighting over who gets to fantasize more about Jennifer Aniston?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Right.
There has to be a winner here?
Yeah, it's fight to the death.
Really she's a funny one. People who like her, like, you know, guys who have crush on her, like, really are into her. Then I think a lot of people are, yeah, but she's not necessarily, like, everybody's taste. She's very cute, but I don't know, you know, like, I feel like
Andrew
her
Pearl,
personality, she's like Lucille Ball. She's really funny. So that's interesting. Like, what is it about her that you like? Just
her face.
Okay. So physical gifts.
Yeah.
Physical gifts.
Yeah, I mean, she's not bad on TV, but she's just like, she's pretty fun to look at.
That was funny. When I was doing the sitcom bracket clips for the show, and I was going through all the shows, and I'm doing the Friends clips, and I was like, man, she was elite.
Yeah.
I really didn't watch Friends like that. I did watch the reruns, but then having to go through so many clips, I was like, I get it. I get why. She was her, as they say.
But your all-time crush is kind of similar.
I know. Anne Hathaway.
Oh,
no. Come on, hold on.
I'm a big fan of Anne Hathaway as well.
You knew exactly what you were doing.
No, I know, because I think Anne Hathaway and Jennifer Aniston are in the same wheelhouse.
Thank you. Oof. Right, Bogish.
Anne Hathaway is gorgeous.
She is very beautiful. I don't know that she makes the same amount of top 10 list that Aniston does.
Probably no, not. I don't think so either.
Yeah, probably not. I agree with that.
I'm just kind of surprised, just the female perspective here.
Go ahead.
That of you guys got so many varieties to choose from, right? When you're talking about this. Like, you have swimsuit models, Kate Upton type thing, yeah. Blonde bombshell types, right? Yeah, yeah. You've got influencers now.
Yeah.
You've got a whole new category of beautiful women to.
Sophie Rain, sure, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, you're a pig.
To Ooh. Fawn over. Or whatever, or to think about or look at or what. You're just getting, you have so many more options. It's not just who's on the cover of a magazine. And yet you still go to the OGs of Aniston and Hathaway.
I respect my elders.
First he said he loved Jennifer Aniston. Now, 5 minutes later, I respect my elders.
No. Don't tell her that, by the way, if you ever get a chance to meet her. Don't. If you're going to shoot your shot, don't have that be the opener.
I would forget English if Jennifer Aniston were in front of me.
Would she like your leather coat?
I sure leather.
she'd probably remark on it.
It is remarkable how beautiful. Like I'm being real. How if you do ever meet some of these celebrities, how beautiful they are in person.
Yeah.
Like Katie Holmes came to the New York One studios once, and it was very clear like who the movie star was and everybody else. It was like that person. And like Katie Holmes, I think she's kind of maybe similar ilk of like Anne Hathaway. People don't think. You know, Sydney Sweeney.
Right.
But like, it was like, wow, what a beautiful person.
All right, there would be totally shallow here. I apologize in advance, Maggie. But like, I feel like if you like Jennifer Aniston and Anne Hathaway, you like more of a petite figure, where there's a lot of guys who want the Pamela Anderson, Kate Upton, Sydney Sweeney.
I don't discriminate, so.
Man, it sounds like you like everybody.
I think there's also the, if you come out saying, oh yes, my Pamela Anderson's my favorite, you're almost like a cliche. And if you're telling that to other women, I think you also look a but shallow.
We're not having a conversation about their IQs, EJ. Right.
No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying, like, I think what we're talking about, the voluptuous, the whatever, like, I think it looks like, oh, you're looking for just assets, so to speak.
I just think there's a reason Sydney Sweeney is now starring in every single movie. There's two reasons, actually.
You beat me to it.
Anne Hathaway was, also, too, we saw her, like, Princess Diaries and, like...
Right, and think about me. I'm probably 13 when
Princess Diaries. You've had a crush since you were 12 because of the kid movies.
Oh, but then she matured.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, yeah, what are we talking about here?
I love just waiting in these shallow
waters.
Honestly,
Maggie's judging all of us, but I think...
She already has judged all of us.
I think Maggie's judging EJ more for, like, I don't see it with Anne Hathaway.
No, it's not that.
I honestly saw the thought bubble over your head.
Come on.
It was that my shock over EJ's love of Anne Hathaway wore off, like, after we first found out. I was like, Anne Hathaway, huh? I just didn't think about it. I thought it was going to be more of, like, swimsuit model type thing when we were talking about crushes.
Yeah.
No, listen, if you guys want to flip this thing, like, Jennifer Aniston was married to Brad Pitt. Yeah. The elite of the elite, from my perspective.
Right. But by the way,
to me, I don't think you have a crush on a swimsuit model. I think you have a lust for a swimsuit model.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying?
I think it's so funny about us, who we are shallow about this, but we'll have a debate of who's the best looking guy. We'll talk about that all day long. I mean, if Jimmy G walks in this door, I mean,
is Manny going to forget English?
Like, that is a handsome man.
I'll forget Spanish too. Yeah.
That is a handsome. Hello. Like we will acknowledge handsome men even more so. Like if you want to like start talking about that, I mean, Brad Pitt, good looking. Yeah, we're cool with that.
I like Channing Tatum.
Jalen Hurts, hello.
I love the fact that Brad Pitt could walk into the studio, Manny opens his mouth, and Mandarin comes out. Like he just, no English, no Spanish, just a totally different language.
Anyway. I was going with drool when he said I forget Spanish too, but if you want to switch a new language, that's fine too.
It totally rewired his brain.
I think we have some interesting poll questions coming out of this segment.
By the way, the Rams won last night.
Oh, right. 855-212-4227. But what does last night's loss mean for the 49ers? Spoiler, a lot. We'll get to that next.